Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and we appreciate you being with us. For over three decades, Nancy Pelosi has represented San Francisco in the U.S. Congress. Now, all month long, we've been highlighting women leading locally. And Nancy Pelosi is a woman whose leadership of a local congressional district has made her arguably the most powerful woman leading the nation. Pelosi's Power is a new frontline documentary that examines her legacy and leadership. And it begins with a chilling scene. That's the sound of insurrectionists invading the Capitol on January 6th. And as you can hear, they are intent on finding Speaker Pelosi. I asked frontline director Michael Kirk why he chose to start a story about Pelosi's power with a moment so fraught with vulnerability.
It's one of those things that as you're making a film, you say to yourself, oh my God, I just have to use this because this basically says it all. The Speaker of the House, the first woman ever to hold that position, maybe the most powerful woman in American politics. And other than the Vice President of the United States, who they want to hang, they're coming for Nancy Pelosi, too. That's a chilling moment, both in the sense of personal sense for Pelosi, but also in terms of the larger story about the threat to democracy.
I can't even stand to look at the photographs of the boots on her desk, which always felt to me like, given who Speaker Pelosi is, it felt like a particular kind of violation, almost like sexual assault in effigy, right? This capacity to come into her personal space and defile it and take what they want. For you, when you think about sort of that moment of January 6th, how much of it is in fact gendered toward her?
Well, I think the people we talked to, her biographers, other women who are very, very close to her, all of them, the first answer they have for almost everything that's happened to Nancy Pelosi since she got in Congress in 1987, the first thing they always say is, it's all about gender first. It's about lots of other things. She came with an important agenda. She was determined to really, really get in there and do things. AIDS was one of her primary issues back in the day when that wasn't a primary issue for almost anybody else. But it's all about gender first to all the women we talk to who know her well and in some ways speak for her.
You also begin the film with this language about power and that she, and of course it's Pelosi's power and this notion that she comes from a family where wielding power is a bit like breathing air or drinking water. It is made normal. And yet for her, embodied as she is, as a, you know, she's actually a diminutive person, right? She's small. She is, a mom and grandmom. She's, devoutly Catholic. And yet she nonetheless, in that personhood that we might not think of as being comfortable wielding power, she wields it nonetheless.
And guess what? A woman can be all of these things at the same time. Just what a revelation. I'm glad she personifies all of that, though, for many, many, many men who might watch this film, especially Republican men who hate her, really hate her. She's their number one fundraising target, and they make more money off of the name Nancy Pelosi than almost anything else they complain about. Yes, power was ingrained in her from a very early age. Her father was the mayor of Baltimore, a classic Democratic ward boss. Her mom was this unbelievably powerful behind the scenes, a woman who, as Nancy as the only daughter, five brothers, watched this happen. And it's all inside of her. And like one person, Susan Page, one of her biographers says, It's like electricity in that house or running water. It was just power all the time, everywhere. And she really has it as a default all the way to, being the only woman in most of the rooms she is in Congress. When she gets there, by the time she's a minority leader, she's in the White House. They're talking about the Equal Rights Amendment. And she realizes, my God, this has been talked about such a central thing for women for decades. And here I am, the first woman who's ever been in this room for that conversation. So, of course, it's a good thing she has all the power that would be required. One other just interesting fun fact is when she gets to Congress in 1987, she's one of only 23 women of the 435 members of Congress of the House of Representatives. And many of those other women are women who are widows who inherited their husband's seats in one state or another. So here she is, 47 years old, has already raised five children born in a six-year span, if you can believe that. She's done all of that and been a major fundraiser for the Democratic Party at the same time, and now a member of Congress who, while she's being sworn in, her father is in a wheelchair right over her shoulder. And you see, he became a member of Congress too for five terms. So there she is with everything required to be who she's become and a real mountain to climb ahead of her.
You've talked a little bit about her family of origin from whence she comes, but then also about these children, her five children. You were actually able to get her daughter, Christine Pelosi, to be part of this documentary. Talk to me a bit about that decision and the way that Christine thinks about and speaks about her mother.
In an interesting way, often when you make a biographical film, you want everybody who's as close as possible. And then you usually whittle it down to who's the best, who's the closest. And Christine, in this case, it just feels to me like she's channeling her mother in lots of ways, except she brings a much younger generation's perspective to it. Very, very, very interesting. When memes are created about Nancy after she leaves the Oval Office battle with Donald Trump, where she's wearing that red coat, and all these memes jump out, and suddenly Nancy Pelosi is cool on Facebook and on the web, and she calls her daughter from the car, and Christine has to explain to her what a meme is, and that she is actually one, and even her coat has a Facebook and a Twitter handle. So, I mean, yeah, she was fantastic in her insight into her mom, like the insight of most of the women who know and have worked for Nancy Pelosi, is very, very, very honest and candid. And, of course, they all love her, but they also are honest and candid about the things, the challenges that she's faced and met and the truth about her as well.
You've talked a bit about how Republicans have vilified Speaker Pelosi and have also, in fact, used her as a tool for fundraising, a kind of way to sort of point all of their aggressions and angers. She has some challenges within the Democratic Party as well. And when we think about power and the way that she has wielded it, it has not been exclusively across the party line, but often, and maybe most crucially, within the party. As you talked with journalists, as you talked with others for this film, what did they say about the ways that Democrats, and maybe particularly younger Democrats, think about Pelosi's power?
Here's an 81-year-old woman who knows how to wield power, knows everything, they tell me, about every one of her members in her caucus. Everything, the children's names, what their problems are, what it took for them to run, what they stand for, everything. And you're now in the middle of the Trump administration. It's 2018. And she's gone out personally on a crusade to get what ends up being called the blue wave to happen. A lot of new women are suddenly in the Congress, and some of them have become members of what they call the squad, and they are like many new people who win election, full of ideas, full of enthusiasm, full of energy, and not full of the traditions and not willing to wait around for the way things power has usually been dealt with. And they no doubt ask for a lot. And Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi was not as willing to just listen to them. There were real arguments between the members of the squad and Pelosi, and she was not generous in how she talked about them. She would say, you know, so you have 5 million or 500,000 you're influencing that many people on your Instagram page. That's not power. That's just influence. I have power. Real power is the power to vote and to the power to use votes to your advantage. They are only 4 votes. And I have to deal with, you know, I'm getting 215 or 218 votes. And if they're not willing to play, it doesn't really matter to me. I'll go get those votes elsewhere. That battle between the new women and Nancy Pelosi, a woman who's been fighting this war for a long time, is truly fascinating. It's an interesting part of the film because it's a film and it can only be 90 minutes long. It's a piece of that film I would love to go back to sometime and really explore the implications of all of that as we watch things like the Green New Deal and other pieces of legislation that the squad wants done. See it happen. How does it happen? How do the deals get cut? And how impactful is Nancy Pelosi? Now, this is all potentially academic because an election is coming in the fall, which could render her back in the political wilderness and them. But if they win, I promise you that those arguments will be front and center inside her caucus as the progressive wing, which she used to be the standard bearer for, and the others inside the party battle it out for preeminence and access to Nancy Pelosi.
Maybe we'll come to exactly that moment, the upcoming midterm elections. Throughout this film, one of the key narrative through lines is about Pelosi's understanding of democracy, her commitment to a particular version of the American project, which includes more voices and more opportunity for so many who have been pushed out of the process. If, in fact, Republicans win a majority in the House of Representatives in the fall, in this midterm, and Nancy Pelosi is no longer the Speaker of the House, what do you think is next for Nancy Pelosi, given how much she's done, how much she's given, and her age and her own position within her Democratic Party?
Well, it's a question I ask a lot of people, and they all say she's, you know, a warrior. And she's engaged in the war. And at 81, she has decided to run again. Her seat, apparently, in San Francisco is something of a lock. She's been reelected with ease over the years. So that's not the problem. But it's very tough to be a minority leader nowadays, and especially in the Congress that will be up and coming if the largely Trump Republican Party wins. There's not going to be a lot of bipartisanship opportunities there. And there's nothing worse, they tell me, than being in the political wilderness once you've been the speaker. So, you know, all Democrats in the Congress will, especially the House of Representatives, will find themselves on an island, I suspect, trying to find ways to get things done. And I think that will promise to be harder and harder. And it'll be interesting to see how she reacts. She had 8 years from 2010 to 2018 in the wilderness. She fought, she stayed with it. She kept Trump honest as she could. She fought with him. She was his nemesis, even from the outside. So it would be interesting to see if she continues to play that kind of a role and tries to bring the caucus with her in the combat that promises to be happening in Washington in 2023 if the Republicans win. It's going to be at least according to what everybody tells me, it's going to be a war.
Well, based on this film I just watched that you made, if there's going to be a war, Nancy Pelosi might very well still be quite ready for it. Michael Kirk is frontline director of the new documentary, Pelosi's Power. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rosa.